A couple things I learned while I was on summer break. I learned that in Lancaster County, summer goes a lot faster than winter. I also learned that summer on sabbatical goes even faster. So that was interesting. Also learned that I don't really like heights. So our family got the opportunity to go to Colorado, and what a beautiful area of the country. We did all the things there that you do when you're a tourist in another state, but I drove to the top of Pikes Peak. Has anyone ever done that before? It was my idea, and you actually have to pay to do this, to experience this. So Pikes Peak, I believe, is the tallest mountain in Colorado that you can drive to the top, and it's about 14,000 feet above sea level. Well, about halfway, somewhere around 7,000 to 8,000 feet, all of a sudden, I felt my neck start to tense up. Kelly said I started to get pale, my gripping the steering wheel, because if you've never done this, you're just driving kind of back and forth, and there aren't really guardrails, so it's just a road that you just can, like, there's a big drop on the side. And so I'm just locked in on the center double yellow line. And at one point, Kelly said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, not really. I'm not really enjoying this." And she said, "Oh, do you want me to drive?" I said, "No, thanks. It's not that desperate, right?" No, she's a good driver. She is a good driver. But I'm like, if we're going down, I want to be at the steering wheel. I don't know. I might have some control issues. But We just really missed you, like I said, we did get an opportunity to visit a number of churches, but there's just no place like your home church. One of the statements Kelly and I said to each other is, we miss our community of people. We miss our community, and being away from it raised the value of it. And I hope we never take for granted what this is, what it's like to gather like this and see familiar faces. And if you're new here, we hope you find a place to belong in a community like this, because the local church is one of the primary ways that you can find a place to belong in a community of faith, a community, biblical community. We're starting a new series today called Biblical Community. And I was thinking about this, you know, unfortunately, many people either intentionally or unintentionally don't get to experience community like this. And there's a variety of reasons. I mean, some people just have this strong inclination to live independently. Some people just allow the busyness of life to be a distraction to really invest in life-giving and experience life-giving relationships. But then some people have tried to find community, and for whatever reason, they weren't able to find it, and maybe experience some rejection or some hurt. But you know, we were designed as humans to connect. Humans just do not thrive alone. I mean, God, when he created the heavens and the earth, he made this pronouncement that it is not good for man to be alone. And he's not just talking about marriage there. He's talking about how we have this innate desire and need for community. So we're starting a brand new series today called Biblical Community. And we're going to look at over the next few weeks, what is it? Why is it important? And then how do we experience it? What is biblical community? Well, to answer that question, I want to go to a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2. And I want to read verses 42 through 47. So if you are on your app, we're not going to have any scriptures on the screen. But if you got your app, you can go there, or you can just listen to me read this. Are you guys okay in the back there? All right, should have gotten here earlier, right? No, just kidding. That was just a joke. You could be sitting up here, right? You guys doing okay? You like how everyone can look at you? Yeah, it's the best, right? Now you know how I feel. All right, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This may be a familiar passage to you. If you grew up in church, you most likely have heard this passage. If you didn't grow up in church, this is a very significant passage because Acts chapter 2 is written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And he's recording this moment, very significant moment, when the Holy Spirit falls in the day of Pentecost on those original apostles, and the birth of the church is just launched that day through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit fell on these people on that day, they started speaking in other languages. Well, the people in Jerusalem could understand what they were saying in their language. And so they looked at it and they didn't understand it. And they thought, who are these people? They're acting very bizarre. They must be drunk. And Peter said, no, they're not drunk. It's too early for that. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Peter, one of the Jesus' most famous disciples, he stands up and he gives a sermon, really the first recorded sermon by Peter. And he goes to Scripture and he points out how Scripture, what's happening in this moment is being confirmed by what was prophesied in Scripture. And so he delivers this sermon and many people respond to it. They make a decision to follow Jesus. So this passage right at the end of the chapter, Luke records the result of this significant moment. So I want to read it, verse 42. Luke writes this. He says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. That's where that we get this word community. There's a common unity. So they were together in one place and they had all things in common. We're going to dig into that word today. Verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Biblical community. Here's my definition of biblical community based on this passage. And if you're looking at your notes, it'll be in there. But if you're not, I would encourage you to write this down. Biblical community is the result of a group of followers of Jesus committed to four practices. And those four practices are the apostles' teaching, fellowship, meals, and prayer. Teaching, fellowship, meals, and prayer. You see how those practices connect the natural and the spiritual. Right? They're not just all spiritual practices, but they're not just all natural practices. It's like we are human beings, so there's some natural physical practices we need to put into place, but it's also connected to spiritual practices. And all four are necessary. You can't just pull the one out that you like, because if that was the case, how many of you would just pick out the food, right? The one that was breaking of bread. Let's just practice that all the time. That's spiritual. And so the text tells us they devoted themselves. So who are they? Verse 42, the very first word is they. Well, we need to look at verse 41, the verse right before that. It describes who they is, who this group of people is. Verse 41 says, those who accepted his message, meaning Peter's message, were baptized. They were water baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That means 3,000 people after the sermon, 3,000 people made a decision to follow Jesus, placed their faith in Jesus. They were spiritually born again. They had this experience where their life was changed, yet they were new to faith. And so this speaks to me that this they includes those who are new to faith, we'll call them newbies, and those who have been believers. Both are necessary in biblical community. So I want you to take a moment right now and just think about who is your biblical community. If you're new to faith, if you've made a decision recently, you're new to faith, and you look around at your community and you're mostly surrounded by other people who are new to faith or non-believers, you're actually missing out on a very important component of growing in your faith. Rubbing shoulders with those who are further along in their journey of faith to both learn from and they can learn from you. Now, if you've been a Christian for a long time, you've been a veteran follower of Jesus, I want you to look at your circle. Because if you're just surrounded by people in your community that have also just been a Christian for a long time, you're actually missing a very important component of biblical community, of growing in your faith. Kelly and I love being around people who are new to faith or experiencing God for the first time. I mean, there's just awe and wonder about who God is and this new way of living. But do they still have some bad habits they're getting over? Yeah, of course. So evaluate your own community right now. There should be a good balance of both newbies and veterans. That's what community is. It's a common unity. We're not united by our behavior. We're united by our faith in Jesus. And so they, is this group, they were devoted. Everybody say devoted. Devoted is not passive. Being devoted, and this is in your notes, being devoted means having a relentless commitment to practice. Relentless commitment to practice. One of the most important lessons I ever learned was from one of my piano teachers, Mrs. Burt. And she was a sweet lady. I took lessons from her for a number of years. I was fortunate to have that experience. And she taught me how to read music. Well, most of my interest in playing the piano when I was a kid was to play by ear and do improv and try to listen to music and figure it out. But I knew it was important to learn how to read music. And so she was trying to teach me how to read music. And I might have been age 12, somewhere around that age. And like most kids, when they get their assignment to play an instrument, I did not like to practice. So she would give me the things to practice. A week would go by, and I really wouldn't practice that. I'd do other things that I was more interested in. And then I would come to my next lesson and kind of struggle through because my mindset was just, I hope and pray that I hit the right notes. And inevitably, I would not hit the right notes. And Mrs. Burt was so patient with me, and she would, you know, encourage me. And then at one point, I was really struggling through this piece, and she just said, hey, hold on, just stop for a moment. And I could tell she was probably a little bit annoyed. And she paused long enough for me to, like, lock eyes with her, because usually you're sitting side by side. And she looked me right in the eye and said, did you even practice? Kind of like someone says, do you even lift, bro? Like, did you even touch the piano this week? And instead of me saying, no, I didn't really, I just, as a 12-year-old, said something like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know. It was obvious that I hadn't. But then she gave me this lesson that I will never forget. And it's a principle that can just be used in so many different areas of life. But how you practice determines how you perform. How you practice determines your action. How you practice determines your behavior. I mean, think about anything that you have learned. Think back to when you learned how to read. You listen to instruction, and then you put it into practice. Think about how you learn to write. You listen to instruction, and then you put it into practice. Think about how you learn an instrument, how you learn to play a sport, how you learn any kind of job skill. You listen to instruction, and then you put it into practice. So if you're learning something, you don't need passion. You need practice. And if you're going to be passionate about something, be passionate about this boring, monotonous task called practice. Let's think about it in the context of following Jesus. We listen to instruction, and then we put it into practice. And how do followers of Jesus put it into practice? In the context of relationship. Followers of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, you must be connected to other followers of Jesus. It's a non-negotiable. It's part of being a follower of Jesus. You need to be connected with others, those who are further ahead than you and those who are still growing, still working out their faith. That's what biblical community is. And so these original believers that day that were recorded in Acts chapter 2, they were devoted to these four things. We're going to look at apostles' teaching today. They were devoted to the apostle teaching. Why do we need biblical teaching? Why is that important? Well, the Apostle Paul points to one primary reason he describes in three different ways in Ephesians 4. He says, without biblical teaching, you will remain an infant, spiritually immature. Then he says, without biblical teaching, you will be tossed to and fro like a ship on a stormy sea. Spiritually unstable. You hear one thing, no, that sounds good. And then you hear something that contradicts that, say, oh, no, I think that sounds good. And then you hear a phrase like, hey, just pursue your happiness. That'll get you on the right path. Oh, that sounds kind of good on the surface. But if someone can convince you what you need to believe, someone else can talk you out of it. So we need biblical teaching to bring stability. Third thing is if you don't have spiritual biblical teaching in your life, it can make you very gullible. The Apostle Paul wrote it like this in Ephesians 4. He said, you'll be deceived by cunning leaders who will tell you anything for their personal profit. Oh, do we see this today? Clickbait. You know why people, and there are people who call themselves, you know, in ministry or whatever, but they'll put very radical ideas online for clickbait, as clickbait, because more clicks you get, the more money. I'm not saying everyone does that, but that does take place. So we need to be very aware of that. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, he raises the value of this biblical knowledge, and he said, you need this sound doctrine. And what is sound doctrine? What is this biblical teaching? Really, doctrine is simply knowledge, biblical knowledge applied. Biblical knowledge applied. That just simply means it must be true and it must be helpful to your life. Because if it's just true and not helpful, it leads to self-righteousness. But if it's just helpful and not true, that leads to self-help. So biblical knowledge applied simply means it's got to be true and helpful. So I'm going to give you three ways for how to be devoted to sound biblical teaching. Number one, we must listen. Listen to instruction. As I said, we got to visit a few churches over the summer, and there's great churches in Lancaster County. And by the way, did you enjoy Pastor Alex Rivera last week? I heard the tent was kind of shaking last week. I don't know if that was true or not, but I did get a chance to listen. Man, what a great word for our church. And really, you were taken well care of, it sounds like, through the summer with great biblical teaching. We're committed to that as a church. I'm committed to that. And anyway, we got to visit a few churches, and it was a great experience because as a family, we got to drive to church together. Don't normally get to do that. And experience a service that I didn't have any responsibilities, and it was great to connect with people in other churches. And then when we went home, we got to discuss it. And one of the questions I love asking is just simply, what jumped out at you? What was interesting to you? What spoke to you? And so we have a little discussion as a family, and I'd encourage you to do that as well. You can do that after my sermon today. Just so you know, our family doesn't usually do that after my sermon, so it's easier to do that after someone else's sermon. So we were talking about it, and then one of my kids said to me, Dad, what's even the point of a sermon? Like, why does a church service have a time for a sermon? And I'm like thinking, because they're awesome. That's like the best part of a service, right? From the guy who's giving the sermon. But I wonder if you have had that question before. Like, what is the point of this that we're doing right now? Because if it's just about content, I have all my notes. I could just print them out in a nice booklet and say, hey, make sure you read this week. Or even I could simplify that and just say, make sure you read your Bible. That's where we get biblical teaching. So why do we have a time like this? It's a good question. A sermon is really just communication. And communication is a transfer of knowledge. And so the human brain, our human brains, we're hardwired to receive instruction and by this God-designed way of face-to-face communication. Reading is important. Listening to good content is important, But God has designed us to gain instruction in a very beneficial way when we're face-to-face like this. And so my heart, my goal for a sermon is to not just try to, you know, have good content. It really is to deposit God's truth, his word, into your hearts, into your souls, so that it challenges your thinking. It inspires you to do something. It may encourage you if you feel discouraged in your faith. In all of it, I hope the goal is that it compels you to take some kind of step to build your faith. And it all starts with listening. Listening requires this decision of humility, right? Jesus said, anyone who has ears to hear must listen to understand. That tells me there's a difference between hearing and listening. Listening's a posture that you put yourself recognizing that you don't know everything yet. We don't know everything yet. And that brings us to number two. How do we stay devoted to this biblical teaching? We got to listen. But number two, we need to learn. L-E-A-R-N. There's always more to learn no matter how old you are. There's always more to learn no matter how long you've been a follower of Jesus. I mean, think about the things that you may have misunderstood. Think about the concepts you may have misunderstood when you were a kid. I remember I heard someone say one time when they were a kid, they didn't understand this whole idea of don't drink and drive, right? They would hear it, don't drink and drive. And they never understood that because every car they were in had cup holders. And so they're like, why should we not drink and drive when there are cup holders here? But when they'd see their dad pick up a cup of coffee and then start driving and drink, take a sip of coffee, they were like, man, our dad's gonna get thrown in jail. He's drinking and driving. What were the concepts you maybe misunderstood as a kid? I was asking Ethan this, and he said, when he was a kid, he said, I didn't understand the term elbow grease. You know, and you gotta, I don't know, sand wood or something. Takes a lot of elbow creases, and you'd be like, yeah, that elbow, yeah, we need to go get that elbow grease. I guess some kind of ointment you put on your elbow. All right, if we only knew then what we know now. There's always more to learn. But how do we get this knowledge? How do we learn this knowledge? We'll go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Simple verse says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So where does wisdom, knowledge, and understanding come from? The Lord's mouth. This communication, this transfer of knowledge that comes right from his word and deposits right into our hearts, into our souls. But how do we learn this? How do we gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? C.S. Lewis has a great quote. He says, aim at heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. I think we could say aim at God and you get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But just aiming for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you'll get neither. So he is the source for our learning. So let me encourage you to be committed to this practice of learning what's in the Bible. And one of the best practices is just to read your Bible every day. And I know it's summertime, and maybe you got out of the habit over summer because it's easy to get out of your routine. But I want to encourage you to establish a daily Bible reading habit. This practice will lay a foundation for your life. And if you're not sure what to do, I want to give you a very simple Bible reading habit. It takes about 15 minutes a day. I use it. It's evolved for me a little bit into something more than this, but this is basically what I do every day just for my own personal devotion. And here it is. It takes about 15 minutes a day. Start by reading one chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. Just going to work through each of the Gospels. Start with one chapter a day. Out of that chapter, however long it is, pick one verse that kind of jumps out at you And if nothing jumped out at you, read it again until something jumps out at you. And then write that verse down with pen and paper. Don't just copy and paste it into your computer or your phone. Write it down on paper with a pen. Because the act, this practice of writing it out, there is, again, this transfer of biblical knowledge that takes place with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it comes alive. You begin to see something you haven't seen before. So you read a chapter of the Bible, write down one verse, and then answer this simple question: what did I learn about Jesus? And begin to journal your thoughts. And then do that through the Gospel of Matthew, do it through the Gospel of Mark, do it through the Gospel of Luke, do it through the Gospel of John. And see how much new wisdom, understanding, knowledge you gain just from reading and absorbing the truth of Scripture. That's getting this biblical teaching, and it's not just listening to a podcast. Podcasts are great. It's not just gathering together like this on a Sunday morning. This is great. But if this is the only time you're getting God's word into your life, it's not going to be enough to sustain you. Build this practice into your life. So how do we be devoted? To sound biblical doctrine, listen, learn, and then number three, apply. Listen, learn, and apply. Can we just say those together? Listen, learn, and apply. If you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember that. Biblical teaching must be, you have to listen, learn, and apply. You can't just pull one of those out. All three are really important. And how is biblical knowledge applied best? In the context of relationship. The context of relationship. I want to close with this passage in Romans chapter 15. The Apostle Paul wrote this book, great book of Romans. Again, God's word getting into our hearts today. And here's what Paul writes. He says, we who are strong ought to what? We who are strong, what does it mean to be strong? Well, in this context, it means to be unwavering in your faith, unwavering in your conviction. So if you would evaluate yourself as being unwavering in your faith and in your convictions that are built on our faith and on God's word, this is a word from God for you. And if you don't see yourself in that category yet, but you are headed that way, this is a word for you because it will show you what it means to be strong in your faith. One of the characteristics of someone who is strong in their faith, he says, we who are strong ought to do what? Tell everyone how super spiritual we are? We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Is that where you saw that going? That's not where I saw this going. I mean, it is because I studied this, but we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. How do you respond? Boy, I was convicted of this week. How do I respond? How do we respond when we see the failings of the weak? What is our first response to that? Is it to question? I wonder why they're struggling with that. If you see someone who is struggling with an addiction, addiction to pornography, addiction to some kind of drugs, alcohol. Paul says, we who are strong ought not to judge. That's not the first step. We ought to bear. You know what that means? That means come alongside. Bear means, here, let me help you. Shoulder to shoulder, let's carry this together. That is a picture of the local church, and I hope it describes this church. We who are strong, our first response is to come alongside and carry the struggles of another person. So when you see someone who is going through, maybe just experienced a broken relationship or a broken marriage. It's coming alongside and saying, here, let me help you. Let me walk with you together through this. When you see someone who is maybe going down the path of deconstructing their faith, raising a bunch of doubts and questions, it's coming alongside and saying, here, let's walk through this together. Bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let's keep reading. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Now you might be thinking, well, that's nice that we're bearing with, but where is the truth? We're talking about biblical teaching. Where is the biblical teaching, the standards of right and wrong? Well, here's what Paul, he addresses that. Because I had that question as I was reading this. He says, for everything, verse 4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. There is a powerful hope that is transferred through God's word right into our hearts. And we can actually be carriers of that hope and that endurance, that encouragement to bear with the failings of the weak. Verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. So Jesus is our example. So that, it all comes down to this, with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Common unity. This community means you're all together in one place, which that's easy, right? We're all together in one place. This is nothing. This is like the fun part of the week. But if you dig into that, it's not just being together in a location, it's being of one mind, meaning it with one accord. And that's what we're going to talk about next week as we continue this series. So would you just bow your heads for a moment? And I just want to give you a couple thoughts. Who is in your life right now that the Holy Spirit may be prompting you to come alongside? Is there a person God's bringing to your attention? Take a step this week. Reach out to them. Let them know that you're here to bear the burden that they may be carrying. The other question I have for you is maybe you've gotten out of the habit, out of the practice of reading your Bible on a daily basis. Let me encourage you, put that into practice this week. Start today. It's easy to start tomorrow. Say, that's a great idea. I'm going to start tomorrow. But start today. Take 15 minutes this afternoon. Read a chapter of the Bible. Choose that verse. Write it down and then write about, what am I learning about Jesus? I believe God wants us to put these four practices, work them out. And it's going to be different for each of us. That's the beauty and the power of the Holy Spirit. He brings it alive to you. So engage with the Holy Spirit. Invite him to do a work in your life. Invite him to make it clear what your step is. And I believe it, girl. God, thank you for your word today. I just thank you for bringing it alive. Thank you for the life that it gives us and brings us. And God, I pray for those who may be feeling like they're in the category just dealing with the failings of the weak. They're dealing with their own failings. God, today, let there be hope arise. Let them know, God, that you see them. You see what they're going through. You see their challenges they're facing. And I believe, God, you're going to send people to them to walk alongside them. And God, I pray for those of us who may have been quick to judge others who are struggling. God, forgive me when I've done that. I know I have. Forgive us when we've done that. And help us to see people the way you do, to come alongside people and bear their burdens together. I believe this could be a step that the church could be known for, a practice that the church could be known for. Not just that we are solid in our biblical teaching and doctrine, but this biblical knowledge is applied. And it affects every area of our lives. So God, I thank you for that. And I just thank you for your word today. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you all say amen? Well, are you thankful for God's word today? Man, I pray it challenges you. God, may your word fill us today. Like bread that sustains. God, I pray that we would build our lives on your word. Sound biblical teaching so that we would not be remain spiritually immature. We would not be tossed to and fro like a ship on a stormy sea. And we would not be susceptible to things that are not true. So we make that commitment to practice, build our lives on your teaching. In Jesus' name I pray, we all said, amen, amen. Well, it is great being together today. Thank you guys for leading us. Thanks to the team for setting this up. If you need prayer today, we will have a prayer team down front. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Come talk to someone if you'd like to make that decision today. Or if you need prayer for any reason, you know, what you may be facing may seem impossible, but God can do the impossible. Join our faith together and pray. So have somebody pray with you if you'd like that. And then just a reminder, if you're new to Worship Center or you're newer to Worship Center, make sure you hit connection. Just go over there to where the coffee is. They'll direct you over there. Just a great way for you to get to know who we are and for us to get to know you. Next Sunday, we'll be back in the auditorium and you'll get to see what's going on in there. But until then, I hope you have a fantastic week. Stay encouraged. And can we just one more time thank the team of people who set all this stuff up? Yeah.